The Red Book was this sort of dream journal, a diary, sort of spiritual diary that Jung kept during this crisis he went through. I mentioned a little while ago that Jung had this sort of psychic crisis, existential crisis that he went through following his breakup of his friendship with Freud. And Jung basically thought he was going mad. After years of working with psychotic and schizophrenic patients in a clinic, he started to see many of the same symptoms in himself. He started having these trance states. He would go into these waking visions. He would have visions of this sort of apocalypse coming over Europe and so on. And in order to kind of keep a lid on it, he started writing them down and painting images that he saw in his dreams and in his visions. And this is what became the Red Book. It's called the Red Book because it's basically a big, fat, leather-bound, red-colored folio, a diary. And he wrote in this fantastically meticulous calligraphy these sort of dream narratives or waking state sort of visions that he went on. He developed a method of sort of dreaming while awake, to put it in the simplest terms. He could fall into this sort of waking dream state where he could watch the dreams take place, and he could also still be critically aware of them. He wasn't completely immersed in them. He retained his sort of critical consciousness. And then he painted these images, and they're fantastic, they're like these sort of psychedelic pop art kind of images. They're incredibly vividly colored, and intricate, so much detail of these entities that he encountered in these trance states he went into. When I say that, Jung believed that there are these intelligences that lived in his head, basically. We'll put it another way, that they shared the same psychic space in which his personality existed. So just as we all share this outer world, you know, I'm looking out my window now and I see trees and houses and clouds and all that, and this is something that anybody else looking out their window is going to see. Jung believed that in our inner world, we have a similar inner space that we share with other beings. And he encountered some of these in these trance states. And they talked to him and they told him things. They told him things about that inner world. They told him things about himself, about their self, about their life. And he kept this record of this for, well, it started about 1913, and he kept doing it. The crisis ended about right after the end of World War I, to say about 1919, but then he kept adding to the book for another 10 years or so. But Jung was so ambivalent about this sort of thing. I said before that you know, he was insistent that he was a scientist. So in a way, he didn't want to be too open about this because he thought, you know, well, people just think I'm crazy and
right.
they won't take my science seriously. So he kept it a secret, and he kept it locked away. And for many years, he stopped tinkering with it. About 1930, he put it in a cupboard in his home in Zurich, and left it there. And it stayed in that cupboard until sometime in the 80s. I mean, the family, you know, kept the house. And then it was moved to a bank vault. And it was there, remained there until last year when it was published a little more than a year ago, in the fall of 2009. And if you know that at the time it created a big stir, I mean, the New York Times devoted 10 pages to it, which is unusual because they're not
right.
Particularly kind to Jung, mostly. They're more sort of on the Freudian side of it, I would say. So they devoted 10 pages to it. And it was, you know, sort of a big, big, big to-do in the publishing world.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say...
In the Red Book, he does talk about some of his encounters with the dead.
Yeah. And it was kept under, obviously, lock and key for a long time as people were... People controlling Jung's image thought that that would feed the wrong side of it. What about his last book on UFOs? It surprised me to read about that, although it doesn't surprise me that for Carl Jung, it would be all about the symbolism of UFOs. Mm-hmm. But did he ever see one himself?
Well, it wasn't exactly his last book. It was one of his last, but it was pretty close. So I think there was one other after it, and then the Memories, Dreams, Reflection were the sort of ghost-written autobiography. But, well, he doesn't talk so much about seeing them himself. He talks of them as these sort of psychic projections. We mentioned this word mandala earlier, and mandalas are these sort of circular, well, it's a Sanskrit word meaning magic circle. So they're these circular images that Jung... believe the psyche produces both as a sign of its own kind of psychic state, and also as a means of sort of reaching a greater integrity. And Jung believed that flying saucers, because they were round, you know, the early ones were considered, you know, round, circular shaped, that somehow the collective psyche of the whole planet was projecting these things into the sky because of the tensions of the Cold War. He believed that, you know, the West had become schizophrenic, where you have the USA on one side and the USSR on the other, and, you know, there are guys with the fingers over the buttons to, you know, shoot the missiles off on either side. And this tension, this sort of, you know, pressure produced these, it sort of prompted the psyche, the collective psyche, to produce these images. And Jung, he said it's called the UFO, a modern myth of things seen in the sky. And he basically was saying this is a way of the collective psyche to somehow reach some sort of unity or some sense of healing itself because of those pressures. And it's a funny thing that Jung, he had been interested in UFOs from the beginning. He sort of read lots of accounts of it, and in correspondence he talked about it. But again, it took him quite some time to sort of come out in the open and talk about it. And there's a famous story where Charles Lindbergh, you know, the pilot, visits Jung in Zurich, and Lindbergh himself was pretty skeptical about UFOs, and he presented Jung with a lot of evidence that, oh, you know, it's just kind of a hoax or whatever, and Jung pretty much just sort of ignored it. He didn't want to know about it. He didn't want to know about any of the sort of the physical evidence, and whether they were physical objects or not, he kind of, you know, he didn't think that was that important. He was more interested in their psychic, the psychological meaning. But this sort of stuff all came out after Jung himself had a near-death experience.